5 weeks ago, we began a brand new teaching series here at Elevation Church called Take 10. It's all about the Ten Commandments. It's the best name I could come up with. I could have just called it the Ten Commandments, right? But there was a movie that already had that title, so I wanted to try to be somewhat original. Take 10. I started to say gimme 10, like drop and gimme 10, but I was afraid y'all might want me to actually do that before I preached in the morning. So we went with Take 10. What I want to do is take these Ten Commandments and really open up our minds, open up our eyes, open up our hearts to what God has to say, because He gave the Ten Commandments thousands of years ago on the other side of the world to a different group of people in a different culture at a different time. And I wanted to open these things up and see how relevant, if they are relevant at all, even to us, to you and me, to our culture at this time, in this place. How important are these commandments? Are they really merely suggestions today? Have we advanced so far in our culture, in our education, our sophistication, that we can take God's Ten Commandments and kind of use them as just, you know, suggestions? Or are they in fact black and white, hard line rules, laws for right living? And if so, how do we then live these laws? So far we've been through, what, three commandments, right? Three commandments. The first, second, and third commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. We learned that that before probably means both in front of or at a higher place in a hierarchy, but also in God's sight, which is pretty much any time, any place, everywhere, all the time, right? You shall have no other gods before. Don't put any person or anything before God. Don't worship any person or anything instead of God. Then we found out in the second commandment that we're not to have idols. We're not to make things with our hands or even in our mind's eye that would represent God, whether it be the God of the Bible, big G God, or the little g gods in our lives. And we talked about some of those little g gods that we might worship, right? A lot of times that revolves around money and things that money can buy, and little g gods being the things that we want, that we desire, that we put above and before God. Idolatry. And then last week, Ron, thank you, Ron, for doing this, Ron Anderson, gave us a great message. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. I can't wait. But about taking the Lord's name in vain, about not honoring God's name, about not revering His name. Powerful stuff. And I think if you've been here for all of these messages, you would agree that we've discovered one by one that these commandments really do matter, even in our educated, sophisticated American culture, even in Flower Mound, Texas, right now, here today, even in your household, in your workplace, in your mind, and in your heart. These commandments are valid. They matter. And keeping these commandments is a very important part of living the life that Jesus says in John 10:10 that He came to deliver for us, that full life. And we had a series about that not long ago, about living real life. And real life is found not in doing life your own way, but in living the way that God, who gave you life, designed you to live and desires you to live. And so keeping these commandments, it matters. And today, we're going to be opening up Exodus chapter 20, which is where this series is kind of based. That's like our home base passage, right? Exodus chapter 20. In fact, if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 right now, that would be great. If you don't have your Bible with you today, we're going to put the passages up on the side screens. You can follow along there. Or if you have your smartphone, take a moment right now, pull your smartphone out, and download a Bible app. There's a lot of them out there. Get a free one, because the free ones are really good. I happen to like the Bible app, YouVersion, Y-O-U version. It's one that I use all the time. It's free. You can download it, and then you always have your Bible with you. So if you're going to pull your phone out right now and download the YouVersion, I won't get on to you for texting until like 3 or 4 minutes from now, because it doesn't take that long to download, right? So you can follow along in your Bible, your paper Bible, because I like these things a lot too, on your Bible app or on the side screens. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to get to the fourth commandment in just a moment, because the fourth commandment is all about the Sabbath. It's about keeping the Sabbath, honoring the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is this holy day that God has set aside. And I'll be dead honest with you, a couple of years ago, I knew about the Sabbath, but I wasn't really that familiar with the Sabbath. I wasn't familiar with really what God meant by honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy. And I started the year 2012 with a teaching series about the Sabbath called The Rest of God. And it was a result of me having a transition in my understanding and in my heart about the Sabbath. See, I had come up in my life. I became a Christian when I was 21 years old. I didn't really get it before that. And at 21, I kind of got it. I understood that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, that Jesus was the Savior that I needed, that He had done the work for me, that it wasn't up to me to do the work. And I became a follower of this Jesus character, and I plugged into a couple of churches and eventually ended up at a church for a lot of years. And their church culture really didn't teach the Sabbath in a real biblical way. We really kind of approached the Sabbath in more of a cultural format. And I had bought into these cultural myths about the Sabbath. And so for several years, even as a Christian, I didn't get the Sabbath. I was bought into the cultural myth that hyperactivity would result in hyperproductivity, right? Hyperactivity, being very, very active, always having stuff on my schedule, always being busy, doing stuff all the time, meant that I was living a productive, a full life, as Jesus said that He came to give it. And honestly, that was reinforced by the culture of the church that I was in. We had adopted the culture of the world. Because that is the culture of the world, isn't it? Who's got a job in here, right? They like you to be busy, don't they? Like, who's developed the habit or the ability to look busy when your boss walks by, even if you're not? Don't raise your hand. Your boss might be in here, right? But some of you have developed the skill set to look really busy when the boss is on the floor, even though you're not, right? Because if you look busy, they'll assume that you're doing a good job and that you're producing like you're supposed to produce. Now, that's kind of our culture. So I had bought into this myth that hyperactivity would result in hyperproductivity. I believed that being busy made my life matter more. Anybody ever feel like that? That the busier you are, the more important you are, the more your life matters, the more you're getting done. I even had bought into this saying that I'd heard years ago that, oh man, I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'm busy, I got things to do. I will sleep when I'm dead. I'll rest when I'm dead. That's when I'll have... See, those are cultural myths. And frankly, until a few years ago, that's where I was, even as a Christ follower. I believe that's what made my life matter, being really, really busy. And then I read a book as a result of a conversation with a pastor friend of mine, and I had some conviction about the Sabbath and what it really is and what it really means to keep the Sabbath, to honor that day, to honor God through the practicing of Sabbath and to make it holy as God made it holy. And that brings us to today's topic, because we're not redoing that message series. We're actually doing the Take 10 series, but we're talking today about the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath. Let's open our Bibles and let's read Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, because that is the commandment we're looking at, the fourth commandment today. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Let's see what God said to Moses when He gave him these 10 commandments. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. He sounds kind of serious about this. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and he made it holy. He set it apart. After I had this kind of epiphany, this revelation about the Sabbath, and after I realized that I had bought into some cultural lies, some myths from our American culture, and I really started to examine my own life in regards to this keeping of the Sabbath, the big question I had to ask myself, and the question that I want you to ask yourself today is this: how am I doing on this? Yes, I'm a Texan. I ran that all together. How am I doing on all this? How am I doing on remembering the Sabbath day? How am I doing on keeping it holy? How am I doing on catching up on a Sunday, all the work I didn't get done on Monday through Saturday? How am I doing with living this law, this commandment from God? How you doing? How are we doing culturally? I mean, how are you doing individually is a valid question. Let's look at our culture in general. How's our culture doing with this? What kind of evidence is there out there to support you keeping the Sabbath? How about for our community, our culture keeping the Sabbath? I don't know. I looked at my own life and I realized that my work was pretty much a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week kind of a thing. And one of the key factors that I identified in contributing to that was technology. My cell phone, my laptop. Now we've got even more technology, right? We've got tablets, iPads, all these different. You got cell phones that like don't fit in your pocket anymore because they're really more of a computer than they are a cell phone, right? Like their movie camera, computer, telephone, personal assistant, kind of all rolled into one thing, right? And the more technologically connected we get, the more technologically advanced we get, the more available that we are, the more tempted we are to bring all of our work home with us, to bring it into our family time, to bring it into our worship time. It's not unusual on a Sunday morning while we are gathered corporately to worship the Lord our God for somebody's cell phone to go off. It's not unusual for me to see somebody pull their phone out, and I know they're not on their Bible app because they got two thumbs flying for like 3 minutes. It doesn't take that long to look up any verse, right? And they're firing off emails because somebody at work has contacted. I see y'all do it. I know you do, right? See, we're technologically connected, so personally we struggle with keeping the Sabbath holy. Technologically advanced, but technologically kind of trapped, right? Culturally, it's become the norm. Your boss expects you. If you work a Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job, I would be willing to go out on this limb and bet you your boss expects you to answer the phone and answer emails on a Saturday. Maybe a few of you don't have that problem, but most of us, your manager, the owner, the boss, whoever it is, has your number in their phone, and they expect you to answer if they call you on a Saturday or a Sunday, right? Not just work, though, that infringes, not just technology that infringes. What else is on a Sunday or the day that we kind of practice as the Sabbath? By the way, the Jewish Sabbath was Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, the last day, the seventh day. Somewhere along the way, and it's not important where and when and why, but we kind of adopted the Sunday Sabbath, the first day of the week as the Sabbath, instead of the last day of the week as the Sabbath. Big deal? I don't know. We can debate that later if you want to. But we, American culture, practice a Sunday Sabbath for the most part. What What competes with us on Sunday? Make a list in your mind, because I bet it's a long list. So you personally compete with all, or have things competing with you for the Sabbath. You have technology, you have recreation, right? Who likes to watch football? Who's an NFL fan? A couple of us in the house, right? What day is all the NFL games on for the most part? Right? Sunday, right? Right? How about the best day in golf? If you like to watch golf, the day where the champion is crowned at whatever tournament, it's on Sunday, right? What's that? Daylight savings time changes on Saturday night. How's that? Does that mess y'all up twice a year getting to church? Yes, it does. The records reflect it. Anyway, I can show you. You got sports. You've got daylight savings time. You've got travel. You work 5 days a week. You got to get away on the weekend. You travel away. You make it recreation time. You hunt and fish if you're like me, and those are the days that you get. Well, I can't, but most of you can get away on a Sunday, right? And so what about kids' activities? How many of you have kids in sports and they play tournaments on the weekend? And Saturday is just seeding day. Sunday is the real day, right? And you can't miss it. You got to be there because they're part of the team. You can't let the team. So we have competition for the Sabbath. Competition for truly our worship, because we're about to discover in a moment that the Sabbath really is set aside as a day of worship. So do you keep it holy? H-O-L-Y? Or do you ignore it wholly? W-H-O-L-L-Y. The Sabbath. To be able to answer those questions accurately, we probably ought to define what the Sabbath is, really, and what does it mean to keep the Sabbath, to remember it, and to make it holy, to keep it holy as God has made it holy. So I want to define the Sabbath so that we're all working from the same page. We all have kind of the same definition in our minds, so we can answer these questions for ourselves accurately. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, if you would go there with me. Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. This is the creation account. Now, God has just finished creating the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And in verse 2, it says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from the work of creating what he had done. The first part of our definition for the Sabbath today is it's a day of rest. It's a day of rest because God rested on the seventh day. And because he rested on the seventh day, he set the seventh day aside for all of us, for his created, his beloved, for mankind. He set it aside and said, do what I did. Rest. Take a day and rest. The ancient Israelites took that commandment to rest very, very seriously. They would not do really any work, not anything, on the Sabbath. It was against the law for them to carry a load of any kind, like to go get firewood on the Sabbath. It was against the law for them to buy or sell on the Sabbath. Those were things that were punishable, in some cases by death. They took it very, very seriously. When the Israelites were wandering in the desert and God was giving them manna to feed them, he gave them an extra measure before the Sabbath, because on the Sabbath, they would not go out and gather manna, right? It was the only night that the manna would stay fresh till the next day. This is serious stuff, this Sabbath. It's serious stuff. God means it. The nation of Israel took it seriously. But resting just for the sake of rest, like just staying in bed all day on the Sabbath day, whether you observe it on Friday night through Saturday night, or whether you observe it on Sunday or whatever, just staying in bed for the sake of staying in bed, just doing nothing for the sake of doing nothing, doesn't really honor that day. It doesn't really honor God. It really isn't doing anything for you or for him. It's not keeping that day holy. If you're just, you know, slothing out, right? Just, you know, I think I'll just stay in bed today. It's a lazy day. It's the Sabbath day. I don't have to do anything, right? That's not keeping the Sabbath. It's not honoring it. It's not keeping it holy as God has made it holy, because the second half of our definition for the Sabbath is this. It is a day of remembering. It's a day of remembering. And remembering, in many places in Scripture, is referred to as an act of praise and an act of worship. Remembering God. Remembering what God has done. Remembering who God is. Remembering who you are because of Him. That's praise. That's worship. When we stop down and rest, and in conjunction with the rest, we remember all of these things. When we worship Him by remembering who He is, that He is God, and that you are not, that I am not. That's an act of worship. When you stop down and you remember what God has done and what that means to you, what it means to us collectively, His church. As an example of a time in Scripture where we see an act of remembrance as an act of worship, think about communion or the Lord's Supper. Something that we practiced last week here as we gathered to worship, right? Y'all, I was on vacation, but y'all participated in the Lord's Supper last week, right? And nobody was here. Yes, there's a head shaking yes. All right. So at least one person, right, took part in the Lord's Supper last week. And when you take part in the Lord's Supper, usually the pastor recites or reads a passage, and somewhere in that passage, he quotes Jesus who said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Take the bread, take the cup, do it in remembrance of me, in remembrance of the sacrifice that I am, my body and my blood given as a sacrifice for you." We do that in remembrance of Jesus as an act of worship, to praise, to remind us of where we stand before a holy God, of not just who we are, but whose we are. Do this in remembrance of me. Reminding yourself of the sacrifice that Jesus is an important thing. So just as an example of a time in Scripture where remembrance is an act of praise, an act of worship. Also, check out Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. There's a repeat here of this fourth commandment with a slight variance, and I want us to focus on this for a moment because it's going to help us understand better why the Sabbath is instituted, what it means to us, and why or what we can get out of keeping it holy and practicing it. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your male or female servant, not your ox or your donkey or any of your animals. So far, so good. Sounds pretty much like what we get in Exodus, right? Nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Here's where things shift a little bit. Here's where I want you to pay special attention. Verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Now this is talking to the nation of Israel. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. God used the Sabbath as a way to remind Israel of the covenant that they were in with Him, of their special standing. Out of all of the peoples of the earth, the nation of Israel had a special relationship with God. They were His chosen people. He had delivered them out of slavery. He had freed them from the slavery. He had freed them from the hands of the Egyptians, their captives or their captors, their masters. And He commanded them to observe the Sabbath partly as a way of reminding them of the rest that they have in him that they never had as slaves in a foreign land under foreign oppressive leadership. What does that mean to us today? What does that mean to Christians? I mean, that was written to the nation of Israel, the Jews. What relevance does that have in my life today? I'm glad you asked. Today, the relevance of that is very simple. God uses the Sabbath and expects us to keep the Sabbath, to honor it and to keep it holy, as a reminder for Christians, for followers of Jesus, for his church. A reminder that he has freed us from the guilt of our sins. Because every one of us is born into a sinful state. We live in sin. Sin separates us from God, and we can only be reconciled to God through the forgiveness of sin by way of Jesus, who was God incarnate, God in the flesh, God with us, who gave that sacrifice on the cross to reconcile us to God, who rose from the grave to give us real life, new life. The Sabbath reminds us of who we were, slaves, not in Egypt, but to sin, and who we are, freed men and women, free to live the life that God created us for and that Jesus delivered us for. Free. It's a reminder to have rest in him, to praise him, to worship him, to remember him. The Sabbath is a day to stop, to rest, to focus on God, to remember who he is and who you are or can be through him and because of him. It's a day to praise him. It's a day to worship him. Let's talk about what the Sabbath is not. Two parts of a definition for what the Sabbath is, and I won't claim that that's a complete and full definition, but it's a good working definition. It's a day of rest, and it's a day to remember, to praise and worship God. What is the Sabbath not? Because here's where our culture will get us sometimes. It'll kind of leave those other two things intact, but it'll twist them a little bit. So we need to know what it is not. Number one, the Sabbath is not a religious obligation. Now, I grew up in a home where we said we were Christians. I'll be honest, we were not. I didn't know the difference. But we attended church periodically, which would be pretty randomly, honestly. But we said we were Christians, and we went to a church sometimes, and when we went, it was usually because my brother or my sister or I had entered into some phase of bad behavior. And my parents figured, well, we better get them to the church and get them straightened out. At least that's what I guess they were thinking. And we would be forced to dress up, load up. Well, first of all, to wake up on a Sunday morning, then to dress up, and then to load up, and then to go to church to observe the Sabbath. And it was a religious obligation. It was something we did because we had to. And I know church families who were really devout church families, people who were, I mean, like, they, not like our family. We went when there was a problem. They went every time the doors were open, right? Like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday afternoon, and any other time that somebody might have turned the lock, right? They were there. Some of you were those families. I see you smiling. I see you laughing, right? Some of you are those families, right? And I'm glad you're here, but check this in your life. Check this in your heart. Don't come to church as an some way of, you know, some observance of the Sabbath out of religious obligation. Don't do it out of religious obligation. Because Jesus clearly demonstrated the fact that it is not some kind of religious obligation. It's not about legalism. It's not checking the box. I was in church 50 out of 52 Sundays. The only two I wasn't there, I was sick in the hospital. I was there 52 out of 52. I'm 26 years old. I've missed church four times in my life. I mean, it's not about, you don't get Jesus points for being at church. Attendance may be down next week because some of y'all just learned that for the first time, right? There's no Jesus points. You can't build up like a bank of good guy and good girl credits so that when you do bad stuff, Jesus is like, oh, well, he's been at church or she served so many or she gave or he gave so much money. It doesn't work that way. The Sabbath is not a religious obligation. It's not about legalism. It's not about just rote obedience, just blind obedience to God. Okay, the law says I got to be there, so I got to be there. I don't want to be there. I'm not going to get anything out of it. I'm going to poke my lip, cross my legs, cross my arms. But I'm there. Jesus demonstrated regularly that the Sabbath was not about legalism or obligation. Six times in the New Testament, we see Jesus heal somebody on the Sabbath. Five out of those six times, it created some serious controversy with the religious people, the people who felt obliged by the law to do X, Y, and Z, and to not do A, B, and C on the Sabbath. We don't do anything. We don't work. We don't build fires. We don't collect fire. We don't. All we do is rest and focus on God. And you, Jesus, you healed on the Sabbath. Bad Jesus. That's paraphrasing. Doesn't say that here. But that was the attitude that the Pharisees and the religious elite and the teachers of the law brought to Jesus when he did things on the Sabbath that they thought he should not have done. Five out of the six times he healed on the Sabbath, that was the response he got from the religious leaders, from the priests, from those who were charged with the dispensation of God's word to God's people. Bad Jesus, shame on you, healing somebody on the Sabbath. How dare you? They even questioned his salvation, which maybe that's a little bit of a stretch because they didn't really get salvation the way we get salvation today, but they said that he was a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath, that he should be pushed out and ostracized. He couldn't possibly be a prophet or a teacher because he did healing on the Sabbath. Clearly, it's not about legalism, is it? It's not about observing the law point by point, total adherence, no matter what. In fact, Jesus actually said that it was okay to do good work on the Sabbath. It was okay to meet people's needs, to minister to people, to teach them God's way, to share the gospel, to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to clothe the naked, to love the unlovable. He didn't just say it, he did it. And he did it in spite of the fact that some people literally questioned whether or not God was holy. Jesus, they didn't recognize him for who he was. In fact, I love what Jesus said about this religious obligation idea. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man," talking about himself, "is the Lord of the Sabbath." In other words, you can write all the laws you want. You can make all the prohibitions, all the thou shalls and thou shalt nots that you want. But I wrote this. I thought it up. I authored it. I'm the Lord over it. The Sabbath does not supersede me. I supersede the Sabbath. And so the example that he sets for us is an example that we can feel very solid in following. It's not about religious obligation. It's not about legalistic keeping of the letter of the law. By the way, if you want to see those instances and where Jesus healed, I'll give you some references if you want to write them down real quick. It's Matthew chapter 12, Luke 13 and 14, John 5 and 9, and Mark 1. You can go and read this for yourself. You don't have to just take Pastor Todd's word for it. I want you guys to dive into the Word of God. I want you to dive into these messages. I want you to go and see if I'm telling you the truth. Check this stuff out. Find out for yourself. Gain some understanding on your own by seeking God. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He defines it, and he demonstrated how we are to operate within it. It's not a legalistic, obligatory thing. It's about your heart. You keep the Sabbath holy by the way you deal with it in your heart. If you rest for the sake of just being lazy, for just not doing anything, and you use the Sabbath as an excuse, you did the right action with the wrong heart. If you do good work on the Sabbath, and you do it with the right heart to serve others, to honor God, to love God, love others, the greatest commandment, the second that's like it, you've broken no law. You've offended, well, you may have offended man, but you've not offended God. In fact, you've honored him. You've made the Sabbath holy by what you have done. Worship God with your activities. Make sure your heart is in the right place when you rest. Keep the Sabbath holy. Second thing that the Sabbath is not is a day of recreation. I alluded to this in the opening a little while ago. American culture is all about recreation. We know that because the highest paid people in our culture really are entertainers. Music, television, movies, sports. Those are the highest paid people in our culture. They make more than the president. Right? I mean, if they're good, right? We're all about entertainment. We're all about recreation. I like to hunt and fish. Y'all, if you've been around here at all, you know about that. Both hunting and fishing are multi-billion dollar industries every year. Football, multi-billion dollar industry every year. Golf, multi-billion dollar industry every year. Leisure travel, like RVs and hotels, multi-billion dollar industry every year. Movies, multi-billion. Music, multi-billion. We love recreation. We love entertainment. We like to travel. We like to watch NASCAR. We like to watch the NFL. We like to watch the PGA. We like to go play golf on the weekends. We like to do all of these things. We like to chase our kids' sporting events, right? We like to see little Johnny or little Susie playing softball or baseball or doing their swim meets or whatever thing that they're into. We will chase them all over the country if we put them into the elite levels, if they're really good. We play select softball, so we travel every weekend. We go to Arkansas, or we go to Oklahoma, or we're in California, or we're in Nebraska for the Little League World Series, because little Johnny's 8 years old and his team, among 9,000 others, made it, right? But we feel obligated to go because we pursue recreation with such passion. The thing is, the Sabbath was never set aside as a day for recreation. It's for rest and restoration, right? It's being poured into as you pour out all of the stuff in your life, all of the worldly, secular things, you pour them out and you're poured into with the things of God, the rest of God. But we've turned it into rest and recreation instead of rest and restoration. How many of you have come back from one of those trips and you needed a vacation from your vacation? Amen. Just got back from 9 days in Colorado. Should have come back restored. We drove in. We got home Tuesday night late. Wednesday, I was wiped out. I've been chasing all week long trying to catch up. We still have laundry piled waist high. Lakeisha was at our house the other day. She saw the dishes in our sink, right? I mean, it's crazy because we're so wiped out from our vacation. Say, I'm guilty. I'm a fellow struggler. Believe me, there was some conviction this week as I prepared for this message. We've made it a day of recreation. The Sabbath is a day off, right? It is a day of rest. But we've also made it a day of worship, which it is. But we've got the wrong object of worship. We've begun worshiping ourselves through recreational pursuits. Instead of worshiping God, who made us, who created us, who has what is best for us in His mind and His heart, who gave us this law to follow for our own good, we've turned it into a day of worshiping ourselves instead of worshiping Him, of pursuing our desires instead of pursuing His holiness and His righteousness. We recreate. The Sabbath is not this recreational pursuit opportunity. It is, in fact, a holy day, which is the phrase we get the word holiday from. But we think of holiday as recreation. Rethink what a holiday is. Remember that the Sabbath is a holy day. And keep this day holy. Now, does that mean you can't do any recreational pursuits on a Sabbath day? Hold that thought. Maybe I'll answer that question as we wrap up today. Keeping the Sabbath holy, as we've discovered, is about resting. It's about reflecting on God. It's about praising Him and worshiping Him, remembering who He is and who you are through Him because of Him. But is it restricted to one day? Is it, in fact, a one-day deal? There are many today who would argue that the one-day Sabbath really is not important, non-existent, irrelevant, invalid. And before you get all defensive and up in arms about that, hear me out. Because most of these who would argue that are coming from a very sound theological position. What they would say instead of having a day, a 24-hour period of Sabbath, is that every day is a Sabbath day. Every day is a day where we should reflect on God. Every day is a day where we should realize who He is, that we should think about that we should pray about that we should praise Him for who He is and for who you are because of Him. Every day is a day where you should set aside time of rest and reflection, of rest and restoration. Every day is a Sabbath day. For a New Testament Christian, not an Old Testament Jewish believer in God, but for a New Testament follower of Jesus, every day is the Sabbath. Every day is a day of rest. Yes, you work, but yes, you find time to seek God's face, to get into His Word, to pray, to shut up and listen. I emphasize that because that's the one that most Christians struggle with the most. It's easy to open up your Bible, get a devotional, spend 15 minutes, check your Jesus points box, to launch some prayer as you drive, you know, to work or in the shower or work it in somewhere so that you're still being productive, right? Right? You're with me? You know what's hard is to shut up and listen for the still small voice of God and to be restored and refilled and refueled through that connection with Him. Every day is that kind of a day. Every day is a Sabbath. If every day is a Sabbath, then is it okay to work every day? If every day is a Sabbath, is it okay to have some recreational pursuit in every day? If every day is a Sabbath, is it okay to, you know, sleep a little, eat a little, haul a little firewood or whatever else you do? I think the answer to those questions is pretty self-explanatory at this point. Yes. Yes. If you're having Sabbath every single day, if you find a day every single day a time to rest in the Lord, to be restored in the Lord, to worship God, to praise Him, to remember Him, to recall who He is, what He's done, what that means to you, to put that into practice, to share it with others, then yeah. Dial up Channel 5 on a Sunday afternoon and watch you some golf, because there's no better rest than a golf nap. Baseball's right behind it, right? And NASCAR is pretty close, because you get that drowns out the snores, right? I know that drone puts me to sleep. But let me be real with you for a minute. If you're struggling with every day being a Sabbath, let me dial back to 3 years ago. Right before 2.5 years ago, I preached that message, that series about the Sabbath. 3 years ago, when I had this conviction in my heart about my misunderstandings and misapplications of what the Sabbath is, I set aside a day every week that was my Sabbath day. And I put that into practice, and I held on to that for 2 years. Religiously, and I mean that literally how that word is defined. Like, I rarely ever missed my Sabbath day. Now, my Sabbath day wasn't Sunday, because y'all might have noticed I work on Sundays. My Sabbath day was Tuesday, because that was the day that I could pull away from everything else. I had a day to set aside everything, to rest. I had a day to be refueled and refilled, to kind of rediscover true north, if you will, to let God do in me what God needed to do in me, what He wanted to do in me. And that gave me the discipline, 2 years of doing that, to keep the Sabbath holy on a daily basis. It gave me the desire. I saw what it did in my life. I saw the vibrance that it brought back to me. I understood the restoration that I received through that. And I can tell today, when I get in my old groove and I start living life under the myth of hyperactivity equals hyperproductivity, because I start to get grumpy and tired and drained, and I get mean and I get angry, and it comes out with my wife and it comes out with my kids, and every once in a while it might come out with some of y'all. Y'all. Good Texas word, right? And I remember at that point who God is, what He's done, who I am because of Him, and I realize that I've slipped away from the Sabbath, that I'm not keeping it holy. And I go back to God, and I'll set a Sabbath day aside, and I will rearrange my life to keep His priorities prime. Keep the Sabbath holy. Colossians 3:23. We're told that we need to do everything as if we're doing it for the Lord. Do everything as if we're doing it for the Lord. Not for human masters. Not out of religious obligation. Not because the law says so, or because Pastor Todd preached it. Not because you think you're going to get Jesus points, and at the end of your life, some other thing will be forgiven because you did enough good. Do everything as if you're doing it for the Lord. Rest for the Lord. Be restored for the Lord. Work for the Lord. Recreate for the Lord. Eat for the Lord. Whatever you do, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. You get that attitude in your heart, you get that application in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sabbath becomes second nature, because everything you do is an act of worship in that moment, in that life. Everything. So that's our charge today. That's my challenge to you. I want you to leave here today and go experience the rest of God. Go put into practice the Sabbath, a day of rest, a day of remembrance, praise, and worship, a day to reflect on who He is and on who you are because of Him. But don't just do it today. Do it tomorrow, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and every day for the rest of your life. Rest. Seek God. Praise Him. Worship Him. Remember Him. Keep the Sabbath holy as He made it holy. My Lord and my God, we thank You. We thank You, God, for meeting us here today, for being with us, for teaching us. God, I thank You for Your grace, which I pray today covered every person in this church as I did my best to deliver the message that You put in my heart. Father, if anywhere along the way I missed it, if I left something out, if I put in too much, if I just misspoke what You have spoken to me, God, that I pray that Your grace covers these people and that they would not be harmed because of that. And Lord, I pray today too that they heard Your heart here, that the Sabbath is not some religious obligation. It's not a day of recreation, but it is a day of rest and remembrance, a day to praise You, to worship You, to remember who You are, what You've done, and who that makes each of us who have received Your gift of salvation, who are free from slavery to sin, and who are reconciled from the consequences of that sin, which is eternal death, separation from You, hell. Lord, let us leave here today changed. Let us leave here today ready to embrace the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Father, as we continue worshiping You this morning in song, we're also going to worship You with our tangible goods, our finances. We know that everything that we have, God, has been given to us by You, that You're the provider of everything. You've asked us as an act of worship to return to You one-tenth of what You have blessed us with, to live on 90 and to return to You faithfully 10%. So Lord, we're about to worship You in that way. We're going to receive the tithe and offering. God, as the baskets go around this morning, as the worship team leads us in a song, I pray that You would speak into the hearts of each person here. If someone is here for the first time, God, if they're here just checking us out, if they're here just checking out You, and that this is a stumbling block to them, Lord, I pray that You would just give them peace about letting that basket pass, that they would not have any apprehension, no fear, no negative thoughts, no worries. Father, for those that are here this morning, that this is our church home. This is where we come to worship You corporately, to be together as Your family. Then, God, I pray that this morning that each of us would be obedient to Your call. Not because we have to, not out of religious obligation, God, but because of the desire of our heart. Out of the desire of our heart to love You, to please You, to honor You, to worship You, to bring into Your house the funds, the finances, to do the ministry that You've called us to do, that You've already prepared in advance for us to do. God, we thank You, we love You, we give You all the praise, all the glory for who You are and for who we are because of You and Your Son Jesus. We pray this in His name.